Good morning. I am glad to be joining you here from Rock Lake Christian Assembly today. Josh apparently escaped on vacation, so I'm excited to be here today. My name is Tim St. Louis, and I'm the director at Rock Lake Christian Assembly. Another camp season has concluded for us, and you know, as we begin preparing for next year, you know, we just think of all the things that we have to get ready and all the meetings and things that we're having in the office. And man, we're just excited for what we have in store for next year, the way that God is going to continue to bless our churches and our kids. We're excited about it. You know, we've had a great year at the camp, you know, as I think back, you know, Luke has gotten so much stuff done on the facilities. So many buildings have been updated and maintained. Pam has done so much in the kitchen. We've been blessed to have Amy, thanks.
Okay,
oh my gosh. I'm not sure why I bring my kids with me. No, but we've been so blessed this year, and as I think about the many ways that God has blessed the ministry at Rock Lake, the many ways that we can thank God, I'm overwhelmed. You know, it is like the loaves and fishes concept. You know, that God takes something small and just continues to multiply it and multiply it and multiply it. And that sometimes that's our time. And with what it seems like we should never be able to accomplish, somehow it becomes possible. You know, the many projects that we have, sometimes it's volunteers. You know, that God just continues to break those loaves and fishes and turn them into more and more volunteers. Sometimes it's finances, you know, that God continues to break the loaves and fishes and somehow turns money up where we just didn't expect it. But either way, God has blessed us, and we are so thankful for what he's doing at the ministry right now. You know, this last year, we were able to increase our students, you know, that we had attending our programming, and we're really excited about that. Part of that is from our scholarship program. Have you guys heard much about our scholarship program that we have at the camp? I don't know if Josh has talked about it much or shared much with you, but we're so excited about what's taking place here. This year we were able to allow 105 students to come to camp because to cover whatever financial needs that they had so that they could attend, giving out almost $17,000 in scholarships. But again, you know, that's God just preparing the way. 26 of those 105 students had never been to the camp before, had never been able to experience that. And of those 26, 15 were from churches who've never attended before. So just continuing to allow God to pave the way, right, for people to hear the message of the good news. We're into our off season now. Well, we call it the off season, right? It's busy in a different way. This time of year, we have family get-togethers, church retreats, college groups, and other ministry teams using the camp nearly every weekend. We love to see the facilities in use and love to hear that people are being ministered to through their time at Rock Lake. One of the great things about this time of year, though, is that I don't have to be rousted by my alarm clock for the next several months. Maybe you've made the same mistake that I made this year in setting my alarm. I uh, I chose my favorite song. I thought, if I set my favorite song as my alarm, then I'm going to wake up in the morning energized, ready to get out there and give it my all, right? The reality is my favorite song soon became my least favorite song, and one that I can't stand now. Every time I hear it, I just want to smack my phone, turn the radio off, whatever it is. I don't want to hear it. But maybe your alarm clock is a beeping or an annoying buzz, right? I remember when I was younger, during my time at camp, we used to have this old PA system that ran to all the different cottages and to the boys' dorm. And at least once a week, we'd be woken up to high gates commandeering the intercom, yelling for us to wake up. And sometimes we'd even get some corny song from him too. I'm sure Luke can sing it for you. We use alarms, right, to wake us up because we don't want to miss something. We don't want to miss work. We don't want to miss fun things, right? Like at camp, we have polar bear swimming or Pam's famous cinnamon rolls, right? There's all kinds of things that we want those alarms to remind us of. And so we want to make sure we don't miss out on these great things. The passage that I want to look at today, it's Romans 13. And it's verses 11 through 14 specifically, but Paul seemingly wants to use this alarm clock, wake up, right, to remind us that we need to turn our lives around. We need to be ready for what God has in store for us. So before we get started, let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. And Lord, we don't give thanks enough. Too often we come to you time and time again asking for more and more things. And they may be good things for the health of friends and family, to cover our many needs. But God, we need to take time and be reminded to take time to give thanks. And we thank you for this week that it is set aside to help us remember how important that is. But Lord, may we remember that throughout the entire year. God, as we come to you and study your scripture today, Lord, open our eyes and allow your Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Help us to understand the message that your scripture has for us. And as we look at it today, Lord, please illuminate how it can transform our lives. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. So Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Says, besides this, you know what time it is. It is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now that we became believers. The night is gone and the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. In this passage, Paul's making three declarations about our readiness for Christ's return. He tells us to wake up, to clean up, and to get dressed. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, Paul says, wake up. It is the moment for you to wake, right? In this is in verse 11, right? And I'm absolutely convinced that in this passage, Paul's telling us we're living in the end times. And I don't say that to scare people, but really, the end times are any time between Christ's ascension and his return. And the end times have been going on for the last 2,000 years. First century Christians have believed what so many have suggested over the last 2,000 years, and that Jesus' return is at hand, right? They believed in the first century, when Jesus ascended, that he was going to come back immediately. And how many times have you heard that we should be prepared because Christ's coming, right? That was a big thing in the millennium, that Christ was going to return. Or we just had that Aztec prophecy, right? That it was going to be the end of times because the Aztec calendar ended in, 2017. And so, you know, we've heard this so many times over and over that the time is at hand. And Paul's saying that we need to wake up and be ready because regardless of what all these other people are saying, we don't know. We just don't know. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be 100 years from now or 1,000. Either way, we need to be ready. So Paul reminded them that they're nearer to their ultimate salvation, right, than they were the day they first believed. Rich Mullins is a name that's been connected with the camp ministry. He was a friend of our family. And I remember he wrote a song, and it was called Live Right. And part of the lyrics were, live like you'll die tomorrow, and die knowing you'll live forever. Live right. You know, the message that Rich was trying to convey is that if you live like you're going to die tomorrow, like Christ is going to return tomorrow, then surely you'll live right. What kind of urgency would your faith take? What kind of urgency would your faith take if tomorrow was going to be your last day? Is there someone that you would want to share your faith with? Would you be more conscious about the way you're living? Being sure to live right. What a great challenge to wake up. Wake up because the time of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We want to wake up from our slumber and get ready for his return. And that means preparing our lives. Secondly, Paul says that we need to clean up. Clean up because we don't want to be found dirty when Christ returns. Paul describes the waiting period as night. And my parents used to give me a midnight curfew on Friday nights. I was pretty happy about that. That let me be out pretty late. And they were always telling me that nothing good happens after midnight. And they were right. You know, those times that I did break curfew, it was because I was doing something that probably wasn't right. You know, Paul uses the night. I love this illustration that he uses in this passage. He uses this illustration to say that the night is nearly over. The day's almost here. And the things that are done at night are things that we want to hide. And so when the sun is coming up, surely we want to put away those things that we don't want people to see. those very things that he lays out, right? Licentiousness, quarreling, jealousy, debauchery, drunkenness, right? Those are things that we don't want people to see. We don't want people to know that we struggle with. We hide them so that people can't see. But God says that the light, that with the coming of day, the light is going to bring all your deeds to view. That's what he's trying to say. So let us set aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The last phrase, armor of light, suggests there's some protection in seeking godly lives. Some protection. In verse 13, Paul gives us three pairs, right? Or six examples of behavior that we're to avoid. The dark is where we hide these things, and others have no knowledge of our shortcomings. So how are we to clean up? How are we to clean up so that we avoid these temptations? So that we don't turn back to our old ways? You know, we can identify with Paul's words in Romans chapter 7 when he says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very things that I hate. And then he goes on to say, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? I think Paul is saying the very things that we've all felt before. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Recurrent sin reminds us that we're powerless. We're powerless to change. And so we can say with Paul, thanks be to God who delivers us through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 7:25. Our only hope for change rests in Christ. Our only hope for change rests in Christ. So get dressed. At the camp, each of our jobs require slightly different attire. We wouldn't dress to mow lawns the same way that we would if we were lifeguarding or working in the kitchen. We prepare for our jobs each day. And we start by selecting attire that's appropriate for those responsibilities that we'll be tackling. If I'm lifeguarding, I'm going to grab my sandals, my swimsuit, a towel, sunscreen, sunglasses, I'd wear my whistle, and be sure to have my life preserver. But I wouldn't wear that same thing to go out and weed whack, right? Paul says in verse 14 to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should do this with the exact same intentionality that we would for any other job or occasion. You know, when we get dressed up to go out, you know, we should put on Jesus Christ with that same intentionality. But what does that mean? How can we put on Christ? The truth is that Paul writes in Romans 12 and 13 and tells us exactly how we can do this. In Romans 12:2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In 12:6, we all have different gifts, and we should use them in proportion to our faith. In 12:9, let love be genuine. 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints. or other Christians. Extend hospitality to strangers. 12:16 tells us to be willing to associate with people of low position and do not be conceited. 12:19, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. Romans 13:1 says, be subject to governing authorities. And 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. If you want a more complete vision of what it looks like to put on Christ, we should read these two chapters in their entirety, because Paul is very clear. He lays it out so that we can see how we can put on Christ. When we do put on Christ, we're shedding our earthly attachments. If your job is to display the kingdom, then clothe yourselves in a way that allows you to do this every day. As we look at this passage, Paul really gives us these three instructions: to wake up, clean up, and get dressed. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. Perhaps you've been a believer for some time and have lost that urgency for your faith, for the salvation of others. And you need to find that in your life again, that urgency to share your faith with others. Perhaps you're in another place. Perhaps you believe in Christ, but haven't taken the steps to prepare yourself with baptism. Today can be your day, because salvation is nearer for you today than the day that you first believed. Perhaps you're struggling with throwing off the darkness in your life. Perhaps you've struggled with clothing yourself with Christ. Today can be the day where you can get help clothing yourself with Christ, finding someone who can come alongside you and show you what it is to live clothed in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for giving us a message of hope. God, that you will be coming back. That there's a day out there that we can anticipate your return. And God, just because it's been 2,000 years, may we not lose that urgency for faith in our lives. But may we remember that today could be the day, and that we need to live like we could die tomorrow, and die knowing that we'll live forever, so that we truly live right. God, you're the reason for our hope, and we give thanks today. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.